Hocus pocus. You remember those words from the magicians? They would do one thing with one hand while doing something else with the other that you don't see that they're doing? Well, in our last video, I showed you evidence of some hocus pocus really going on in this critical race theory and intersectionality being brought into some of the Christian schools. And there's some more hocus pocus going on. I've got more evidence for you. We're going to look at it right now. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us again here at Truth Unbound. I'm your host, Walter Swaim, and I'm so glad that you've decided to join us and be a part of us. And if you would like, not only for yourself, but to include others in knowing how God's Word speaks into the issues and trends that happen in the church today, in theology today, and in the culture, and even in life today, then this is where you need to be in listening to every single podcast that goes out. So make sure you sign up for this. And also go to our website at truthunbound.org, email me at info@truthunbound.org, and we'll go ahead and get started right away. Thank you so much. Hey, everybody. Thank you again for joining us here at Truth Unbound. I've been on a little bit of a hiatus. I was graduating. I got my doctorate, and I got it last year, but we couldn't walk because there was no graduation due to COVID. This year, they combined the classes from 20 and 21, so I got to go and walk the floor for the probably last time in my life. But anyway, thank you so much for being patient. Well, I can remember a couple years ago, as we get right on into this, that my wife and I went to our first magic show, or an illusionist, sorry. And so he was amazing. It was just jaw-dropping. It was great. And he would do things with his hands, and you realize he's deceiving you. He's showing you something with one hand while he's doing something with the other, but you can't catch it. That's part of the amazingness, if you will, of the magician show or the illusionist show. Well, again, like I said in the introduction, there's some hocus pocus that is going on in some of the elite Christian schools nationwide, and it's having to do with critical race theory and intersectionality being eased into and integrated while being clothed in words such as biblical worldview and Christian and gospel-centered. And so that's what we're starting to see happen. And so I want to bring you some of that evidence right now. In part one, I showed you the history, too, of our Christian school movement in this country. And it was begun out of a deep conviction due to the humanist progressive stance in the public school movement across the country to bring some education to students that would have a Christian worldview and to raise them in Judeo-Christian values and thinking. So we looked at that. Then we uncovered the evidence that critical race theory, for brevity for the video especially, we'll just call it CRT, critical race theory, and that will include intersectionality as well in it. So we'll just call it CRT. It is infiltrating schools already and organizations. And these organizations are allowing more of it to come in as they're being lulled into it and want to hear more about it in order to have or to achieve really well-intentioned goals, thinking it's biblical, but it's not. So in part two here of this video, I want to take you briefly to a couple of sources that show that subtle kind of squirrely pushing of the Christian CRT movement and philosophy. And again, I use the term Christian CRT extremely loosely. It's really an oxymoron with a negative connotation, but I digress. We're just going to use it for the purposes of understanding one thing, okay? So here we have our Christian CRT influencers bringing this in. Are you serious? Yes, I am. So keep tracking with me. It'll all come together. Watch. Okay, so there are two Christian education organizations, very influential, and they help in the training in our present and future Christian educators and administrators. Now, these are two separate organizations, but they have the same agenda. All right, so the first one I want to bring to your attention is CEDA, the Christian Educators Diversity Alliance, and we're looking at their webpage, as their symposium is coming up here real soon in June. And I want to point out to you specifically this Their speakers that they have, D.A. Horton, who will not give a lot of attention to here. He pushes reparations and those kind of things. But look, our main concern here is what we brought up last time with ACSI linking with Unify Ed, which was founded by Dr. Walter Strickland, whom you see here. Dr. Walter Strickland, let me see if I can make a little bigger picture there for you. All right. So there's Dr. Walter Strickland, founder and president of the Strickland Institute, assistant professor of systematic and contextual theology at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, where because of Dr. Strickland, who is bringing out CRT materials and integration into theology there, there's been quite a firestorm at Southeastern Baptist over that. And it gets better. Then we have Dr. Aaron Howard, right there, founder and CEO of As One Christian Diversity Staffing. Okay, so let me show you as well the second one, which is CESA. And here it comes right here. And this is CESA, the Council on Educational Standards and Accountability. All right, now with CESA, this is a group that many Christian schools, especially more elite Christian schools, large ones, very expensive ones, try to draw from and align with because they set standards of education and function and all those things in Christian schools. And they raise a great standard as far as quality goes. But then some of the things here, we noticed what we saw in SATA, we saw the speakers, Dr. Aaron Howard and Dr. Walter Strickland. Okay, now back to the CESA and their symposium that they're having online, I think, in person as well. But here we see Dr. Aaron Howard and Dr. Walter Strickland. Okay, so this is in two very influential standard setting Christian school organizations that educate teachers and administrators and continue to improve them in their field in Christian education. And we have two of them that are integrating critical race theory into Christian theology and Christian education in its practice and also, of course, in its philosophy and its main framework. All right, so let me move over to CESA. They have on their blog or here on their website, it's called The Journey Toward Kingdom Diversity. It says 10 steps to moving your organization forward. And we're going to focus in on a couple of them. But look at this introduction. He says, the Holy Spirit has pricked your heart. You realize that injustice exists within American society. You've seen the unjust treatment of underrepresented groups. And as a leader of a Christian school, you're wondering what you can do to help your institution better resemble the kingdom vision portrayed in Revelation 7:9. That verse depicts a beautiful scene around God's throne. John the Apostle writes, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. In your mind, you envision this glorious tapestry made up of multiple races, ethnicities, and backgrounds, all contributing their unique perspectives to the mission and vision of your educational institution. But there's one major question that you can't quite answer. You're probably thinking, how do I do this? Like a person cooking a meal for the first time, the question is not just how do I do this, but how do I do this without burning everything down? And so he gives the steps here. Now, he's referring to this in Revelation 7, which is also the same as depicting the scene in Revelation 5, where they praise the Lord. It's the church, it's us, and it's the actual visible universal church for the first time all in one place and before God. And this verse is describing from every tribe, tongue, and nation has come to Christ. There's people from every one of those groups that have come to Christ, and now they're worshiping as the church is one together. The thing is this verse is descriptive. It's not prescriptive. In other words, it's not a mandate to force a certain agenda. And I'm not going to go too far down this road, but you get the idea here. Now, as we look at step two here, it says, He says, communicate the rationale, show that diversity and belonging are central to the gospel. Now, remember what we showed last time, and that is that the gospel is simply the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That it's that he redeems those who will put their faith and trust in him, who will repent of their sin and put their faith in him and what he has done. It's purely and only about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and coming to salvation through him. There's nothing in that about social justice or any of those things. They are byproducts, and understanding what social justice is not really biblical justice. That's another study for another time. And also you can see my video that I did on that. You can see the card above and look at that where I talk about social justice is not in the Bible. But anyway, moving on, and I digress once again. The promote this agenda, he's showing here that you can push the diversity and belonging as central to the gospel. That's what they mean when they say it's gospel-centered. Okay, not the gospel itself, but that they call it as part of the gospel when it is not. Now, he says, the main concern here, and I have highlighted, let me show you. It says the books, blogs, and article. He says, read anything, books, blogs, and articles by John Perkins, Brenda Salter McNeil, Latasha Morrison, Charles Marsh, and Issa McCauley. Okay, now, as he brings attention to that, I want to bring your attention to the fact that these are people who are as well pushing a Christian critical race theory agenda across the church and trying to redefine the gospel with it and change it, which Paul told us and warned us in Galatians 1 that no one, not even them themselves, that Paul and his companions themselves are to bring you another gospel than the one that was originally brought. Okay. So that's a dangerous thing. Let's take a look at what further evidence there is here. What does this mean? Who are these people that he refers to? We're going to focus on just two of them. All right, so this first one here is, let me introduce you to her. The organization is called Be the Bridge, and it was founded by one of the people he said you should read anything from, okay? Which reveals the entire philosophy here. It's true philosophy and true agenda. Latasha Morrison, there she is. On the screen right there. And Latasha is founder and president of the organization Be the Bridge. She wrote a book by the same title. And let's take a look at what their agenda is. Now, their mission says that they our vision is that people and organizations are aware and responding to the racial brokenness and systemic injustice in our world. People are no longer conditioned by radicalized society, but grounded in truth, all are equipped to flourish. Now, what more does she mean by this? Now we will see, and this is what she's established, her and her organization. Let me transition to that for you. There you go. And I've highlighted some places. Let me go back up to the top here. You can see here, critical race theory, their full statement on it, okay? They say here, we reject that CRT, critical race theory, CRT is our guiding framework. Instead, Be the Bridge was built around a biblical worldview as is clear in our mission, vision, and values. We regret that some people are using a critique of CRT to discredit our biblical and gospel-oriented fight against the system of white supremacy. Okay, so again, you don't separate the application of a framework from the framework. The application, the tools that are used, is that word used a lot in CRT within Christianity. The tools were created by the framework. And so you can't really separate those like that in the first place. But she's also, remember, when they say gospel, it means social justice. Okay, it's not just about or at all about really just the redemption provided through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It's about changing society in this way, which is another gospel. Okay, we go on to this next part that I've highlighted for you. It says, Christian scholars involved in the fight against racism have found that some of the terms emerging from CRT most helpful when seeking to understand broader societal realities. Those terms include white privilege, white fragility, and colorblind racism, to name a few. We accept that these terms and conceptualizations are useful where they come alongside the mission, vision, and values of BTB and are helpful in understanding and addressing issues in our institutions, communities, and nations in the 21st centuries. Another reality to consider is the white church throughout American history could have, let me move that over for you so you can see it a little better, could have developed robust concepts and ways to think about race and racism. Instead, the white church, remember, notice how the white church is defined by just their skin color. Okay, in other words, a sector of the church it's just their skin color. So does that include Jewish Christians? Does that include those that are not even necessarily of European descent but have white features? What if they're South African and they're white? So anyway, they say that instead the white church overwhelmingly chose to go along with the thinking of the world around it and be discipled by white supremacy rather than scripture. They chose to justify their way of thinking and uphold the oppression of others rather than reimagine a future where the church led the way in affirming the full humanity and dignity of all. There you go. Wait, what? There's more. Okay, now, Aaron Howard also is another one of the people that in the blog written by Mr. Howard, he said, you really need to follow up on anything these people write, okay? And the ones he's referring to promote a Christian CRTism, if you will, which again, it's an oxymoron, but just track with me on this, okay? So let me lead you over to what, in just one instance, there's so much information, it would create too long a video. But to understand where he's coming from here, he says, you need to read Esau Macaulay, who at one time did a tweet, I believe it's now removed from his Twitter account and Twitter page. But this is from the Capstone Report, and this is a statement that he made. In that, the Wheaton College professor said this: a question that I can't stop asking. If all translation is interpretation and interpretation is influenced by social location, what does it mean that most of our English Bibles were translated with very few Black or other Christians of color or women involved? So what then is he saying? What he's saying is that unless there is a racially mixed group of scholars translating the Bible, in other words, unless there are people of color included in the committee that does the translation of the scriptures from the original languages, then it is unreliable. In other words, if only white people were on that committee of translating the Bible, then it is unreliable. Wait, come again? This is called standpoint epistemology, okay? In other words, You look at in the context of what we're talking about here in the translation of the scriptures. In other words, you interpret the scriptures and translate the scriptures even based on your experiences or that of the group that you have been a part of all your life and experienced certain things together, but especially the individual. And that's not how you interpret the scriptures. A good, sound interpretation of the Bible and its translation work is what's called the literal historical grammatical method of interpretation, okay? This has been gone on for centuries. And what it means is that you basically take the Bible and interpret the Bible from what it says in its historical context as it is, as it was written in its time, and then apply it to today's issues and situations and life. That's how you do it. You don't take life and interpret the scripture through it. You interpret the scripture and apply it to life. Oh, I know. But the trainer and strategic planning consultant on diversity, Mr. Aaron Howard, specifically here in this blog, is saying you should read and accept what these great scholars and thinkers are saying. I'm being facetious. Even though in actuality it opposes true biblical interpretation and true orthodox basic Bible doctrine, And to trade that in for what is essentially Marxist-based thinking and add it to the cross and Jesus, and therefore it becomes a useful tool. Something doesn't sound right about that. You would be correct. But we move on. You see, this is what is it's the hocus pocus again. It is permeating the influential Christian schools. This is gospel-centered. This is Christ-centered. This is Christian worldview, when in reality, it isn't. It's critical race theory. It's intersectionality being integrated and added to the gospel and the whole Christian worldview, and even Judeo-Christian values based on that worldview and based on those scriptures. And so this is what is permeating influential Christian schools and their leaders, and it is trickling down, and it's continuing and will continue to divide the body of Christ even further. It'll water down the gospel, and it'll water down, as it already is, watering down the goal of true biblical discipleship and the gospel's definition and the work of the gospel. Okay, one more. I promise, just one more. Right here in the blog by Mr. Howard, it says in step 8, confront resistance with grace, love, and truth. He says that parents will tell you talking about race is what produces racism. Teachers will tell you the focus on diversity distracts from what I've been hired to do, which is teach all children. You will receive negative emails. You will have donors threaten to withdraw their support. This simply means you are further along the journey than you were before, and you are on the right path. If you're on this journey as a Christian administrator, educator, you are not on the right path. But I digress. He says, do not become angry, bitter, or resentful, but speak the truth in love. Well, that's good. Remember and repeat steps 1 and 2. Lean on the word of God. Pray more than you've ever prayed, and the Holy Spirit will fill your mouth and give you the words to say. Will he really, if this isn't biblically, truly biblically centered, will he really do that? If he does, it should be in warning your heart and your mind, don't go down this path. All right, let me show you the scriptures then as to how God says we are to preserve, protect the integrity of the Word of God. We are not to allow worldly philosophies and theories and worldviews come in and add to the gospel or replace it, as we said in the last video. What is God's word? What are his warnings and what are his instructions to us that we are to protect God's word from being tainted with false teaching? He says here in Jude only has one chapter. Verse 3 says, I now feel compelled instead to write to encourage you to contend earnestly for the faith. Faith there means the body of belief that was once for all entrusted to the saints. And that's in the New English Translation. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9 says, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. 1 John chapter 4, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And the false prophet right now of this world is critical race theory in our country. We need to be careful. We need to be warned. Anyway, continuing on, he says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul wrote this, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, hocus pocus there, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And then Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard that you do not get led astray by the error of these unprincipled men and fall from your firm grasp on the truth. Now, that's the instruction that we receive. We are to protect and defend the Word of God, the truth of God, the doctrine of God, and the definition and the work of the gospel as originally given to us and by which we are saved. So we as pastors, as Christian school administrators, as Christian educators, teachers, coaches, parents, and students, we need to be aware that this is a false doctrine and philosophy being brought into the Christian school movement. And we need to obey the Lord in defending his truth and making disciples of Jesus and not of man and his theories. Pay extra careful attention to what curriculums and teaching is being done in your kids, your child's Christian school. Talk to your Christian school leaders to make sure that they are holding fast to the faith and support them as they do. This is so important. And once again, I want to thank you for joining us at Truth Unbound today. Make sure to make this your favorite and also to share it with others through texting, on your social media, everywhere you can, in any way you can, so we can get the word out about how God's truth speaks into and has answers for the issues of life and culture. Thanks again. Follow Jesus, and you'll always follow the truth.